Okay, let's get started. We have a lot to do. So I would like to finish in the pay test today. The plan is that tomorrow to move to Siman Tzadi Zayin and go straight from there, although we're going to take a little break for a Chazara, but we'll move to Tarovis after Siman Tzadi Zayin. So we were discussing the chiyuv of waiting between Milchus and Fleishigs, between Fleishigs and Milchus. We'll get to later today, but first we're going to talk about what the exceptions are. When do you not have to wait between Fleishigs and Milchigs? So the one exception is the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Ozayin that Mishuhu Chola Shetivo Arofim Lishtos Chalav Yochol Lismo Chaladeya Shehitzrich Rak Shoah Achas, that you could rely, if you're a Chola, then you can rely on the Shita that you only need to wait 1 hour. Av Shein Bo Sakana, even if it's a Chola Shein Bo Sakana Ubalvaji Yediyechas Piv Gamkein, provided that there's also Hadachas HaPeh, and he says, and this is Haskamas Kolaposkim, and he says v'chein nagu arbim ne'adam lufnei kama zman k'shayarof mom ne'adam shaylem. Oh no, this is not a quote from the Aruch HaShulchan anymore, but one of the Achronim, I guess, points out that this is, or maybe this is from my own notes that I'm reading actually, that this used to be the common practice when someone had an ulcer problem. The doctors used to recommend that they drink warm milk, and that was apparently good for an ulcer. Nowadays, I think that was proven to be false. But if a person had a bleeding ulcer, that would be something that they would do, and that would certainly fit in the category of a chola that would not need to wait more than 1 hour. Yalkut Yosef points out if a person is not only sick but pregnant or nursing mother, also does not need to wait the full 6 hours, and that's Yalkut Yosef. That's for Svardim. So kal v'chomer for Ashkenazim in such a case. If a woman has like a craving or something and she's pregnant or nursing, she probably would not have to wait the full 6 hours. There is a discussion in Achronim whether you need Hataras Nedarim to eat Milchig after 1 hour. After all, Shulchan Aruch in Yaradea Sim Reshia Dalid says that Dvarim HaMutarim Shenagu BeMisr requires Hatara. And the Shach there explains that if a person is Mekabel to fast during Asar Simei Tshuva, coming up soon, and then there's a bris during the Aser Simei Tshuva, that he doesn't need Hatara because B'chia Gavna lo kibel alatzmo. Certainly he was not Mekabel to fast in the case of a bris. However, the Shach writes that if he gets sick and therefore he needs to eat, he would need Hatara because he didn't think of the possibility of getting sick at the time of the Neder, and therefore that wasn't excluded from the Neder. Meaning the possibility of a Simcha, that he probably thought of at the time of the Neder, and therefore specifically excluded it from the Neder, but the possibility of getting sick, he doesn't think in a negative way, and probably he didn't think of it at all. So the Sefer contemporary commentary on the Pri Megadim asks, why don't we say the same thing about a Chola waiting less than 6 hours? He didn't think, right? The Shach used that as the example in Hilchos Nedarim, as something that a person wouldn't think of at the time that he's taking his Neder. So Mela, it should require a Hatara. My friend Rabbi Usher Fruchter just answers very poshut that when the Neder is for a short amount of time, like Asar Yisimei Tshuva or for a yard site, then yeah, you could say the guy wouldn't have thought that he's going to get sick. He's not thinking of himself getting sick in the next 10 days or on that particular day of the yard site. He wouldn't have thought of it. But when it's a minute that applies every single day, like waiting 6 hours, then he must have realized that at some time in his life he might get sick, and therefore he does exclude. So even though we're talking about the same event happening, but depending on how small a window you're discussing, it may be something that's ol aladas at the Shas HaNeder. That if you're talking about something that's forever, so it's ol aladas that for it. You ask someone, are you ever going to have a sick day the rest of your life? Of course I'm going to have a sick day the rest of my life. That's what happens in life. Things, sometimes you get the flu, sometimes, whatever, people get sick. But do you think, are you going to be in yeshiva every day next week? Yes, I'll be in yeshiva every day next week. I don't think of the idea, the possibility that you might be sick next week. So that's how Rabbi Asher Fruchter suggests. One can also make a distinction between something that is a classical neder that a person takes versus a minhag of all of Klal Yisrael. Meaning, could just be b'chiyai gavna lo nagu, that they were mekabel the minhag. The minhag is only binding as it was originally mekubal. It's not based on what you think, whether you personally thought something was going to happen. When I decide I want to fast for Aseret Yemei Teshuva, so that's my own personal decision. So then it will depend on what I thought. Did I think I'm going to get sick? Did I not think I'm going to get sick? But something that's a minhag of all of Klal Yisrael, so it could be that b'makom choli, they were never knowing this in the first place. The Chayyadon in Klal Kuf Chav Zayin says that a person who gets sick does require hatara, but it's clear from the context that he's talking about a person who has a chronic condition where he's going to have to permanently change his practice. So that would require hatara because he's going to have to mamish permanently change what he does. But if he's just sick for a short time, then hatara would not be necessary because he's not really changing his minhag. It's just that this is similar to what Rav Shechter's been writing in the Tshuvas about. Which one did he say this about? Which practice? He wrote recently, no? One of the practices that even if you do it every year, but this year you're not going to do it, you don't require Hataras Nedarim because you're not giving up on the minhag. You're still observing the minhag. You're just not doing it this year. Why am I drawing a blank? Which practice? Anyone remember? Anyone remember? Got to look at Piskei Korum. What? The 100 kolos? Was that it? Maybe that was it. Maybe. Okay, now, so that's exception number one. So exception number one is a chola. Exception number, we got it. Rani Hagler, according to the Shach, who says that those who hold 1 hour is like hour 6 hours, which doesn't need kinuch v'adacha, so why should the chola need to also do kinuch v'adacha after waiting an hour? Yeah, we have to talk about kinuch v'adacha. L'chora, he shouldn't have to. I mean, it's a good point. If you hold that the 1 hour replaces the kinuch v'adacha on the flip side after eating cheese, right, so you either wait an hour or you do kinuch v'adacha. So why does it matter that he's why after basar do you need both? I mean, I guess the assumption is that basar in general is always a little more of a concern or a lot more of a concern than gvina is. We'll see. Even with hard cheese, most of the Rishonim have never even heard of a minute of waiting 6 hours after hard cheese. Okay, the second, yeah. Oh no, I assume it's something that's gonna be beneficial to him. Or something, meaning lav dafka be therapeutic, but if it's something that he feels he needs. You know, like a pregnant woman, I don't know if she really needs the dolce di leche Haagen-Dazs, but she feels that she does. So I think that would probably qualify. It was one of my wife's pregnancies, that's all she ate, the dolce di leche Haagen-Dazs. Thank God we're not chol Yisrael. Okay, and the baby came out zaftik. Okay, a second possible exception. If you eat just a tiny amount, so this we started to discuss a little bit last time. The Emek Hatshuva, Chelek Vav Simen Shin Yud, writes that you don't have to wait, but you still need kinuch v'adacha because Basar Ben Hashnayim is also for just a tiny amount. However, Badei HaShulchan Sivchat and Beis quotes Poskim that there's absolutely no difference based on quantity. You're going to decide based on how much you eat, when you're going to need kinuach v'adacha, meaning when you're going to need to wait and when you're not. He says, no, there's no such din based on quantity. The logic to be made would be that you'd go back to the two reasons, that neither reason applies to just a mashavu, that it doesn't leave a very strong flavor, and there's the likelihood of basar ben hashnayim is obviously much, much less. But nevertheless, it's more likely that it's a low plug and that we don't analyze each and every situation to see whether it's an actual chashash. They quote from Rav Gustman, Zichrono Livracha, that if you found meat between your teeth and then you swallowed it, that you don't have to start the clock again. We discussed this the other day also, because we wouldn't include that in a new meaning we wouldn't include something that's not a new achila in the low plug. Low plug, yes, but not when something is just a continuation of the old achila. I got to get rid of this muzzle. It's fogging up my glasses. All right, on to the next experiment. One second. I do see your hand raised, just barely. One second. Yes.
The suggestion that really quoted from Dema Hatshuva, although it's not totally clear with the shachets of the test means, but doesn't the Prima Gadol sort of catch the shachets saying something very much like that? That even if you don't have, you have a small, because he says, what's the Chiddush Rama says that using a plate pot, meaning just a pot,
that there are little scraps in it.
Right, and the thing that Rambam says, it has to be tios mishishim, otherwise have to push the book up there. So like, isn't that case?
So I wonder if that's the same, meaning little scraps of something that might be in something that you're eating versus eating a small amount. I don't know if that's the same. I don't know if that's the same thing. Rosh Shlomo Miller, one of the newest members of the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. I don't know if you saw that news item. The Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah of Agudas Yisrael has been expanded. I'm still not on it. Rosh Shlomo Miller similarly said that if you're licking your fingers clean from meat gravy, you don't have to wait 6 hours because that's not considered a Maisa Achila, and that wouldn't be part of the Lo Plug. Meaning, there is what the Achronim struggle with and what the contemporary Poskim struggle with is that there is an element of Lo Plug over here. We're not going to be able to take every single situation and say, oh, is there a reasonable Chashash B'Asa B'nei Shanayim? How strong is the flavor? And then, take each and every case. There's got to be some element of Lo Plug. But even within Lo Plug, it's not an absolute Lo Plug. It's not every time you come in contact with something meat, with something that seems like meat. So that's what Shlomo Miller thought, that if you're not really eating, you're just licking your fingers clean because they're dirty, that's not called eating. I don't know. The Hafla writes that you would have to start the clock again after swallowing the meat you found between your teeth, against what Rav Gusman says. But he says, Ve'ein olam nisharim bazeh. In Megillah Sefer, which is the Sefer that everyone tells me Rabbi Willig used to use constantly when he taught Pasuk B'Chalav last year, when he taught Yerdeya last year. So the Megillah Sefer, he brings a raya from a Ran on Lamed Zayin and Beis Midape Arif, who says that if you find meat between your teeth, you don't have to restart the clock. And the Megillah Sefer says the Ran must be talking about a case where you swallowed it, because if you didn't swallow it, of course you don't have to restart the clock. Why would you have to restart the clock if you find meat between your teeth, if the whole reason you have to wait the 6 hours in the first place is because you have the assumption that meat is between your teeth? So when you've confirmed what you've suspected, why would that change anything? So it must be that the Ran is talking about a case where you then swallowed it. So you see that you would not have to restart the clock if you swallow the meat that's between your teeth. Okay, that's when it comes to a mashu. So that's exception or potential exception. Not every exception is agreed upon, obviously. That's potential exception number two. Potential exception, there's more. From David Kirsch, okay, coming through the Zoom. What would be the svara for the Badei HaShulchan? The woman have to wait, even if it's less than a kazayis. Lo plug, right? It's a lo plug, I think. The third exception is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe writes in Yardei Chelik Bei Simen Chavav, V'lachein, le'echol gavina achar vitaminis shel kaved. If you have a liver vitamin, meaning a vitamin made out of meat, ein makom lachosh klal, v'kol shkei shemotu levlo asam achar gavina af kosher, v'gam belo kinuach v'adach apiv. It doesn't count as meat, essentially. Not to have milk after it, not as far as eating it, or as taking a vitamin after a hard cheese meal, a fleshic vitamin that were made with kosher meat, as far as non-kosher meat, we already discussed, as far as derech achila and what's royal achila, a person does not need to wait 6 hours. And he says that the reason of the Rambam and the Rashi, neither reason applies. Mainly, you're swallowing the vitamins in the... you're swallowing the vitamins, and in vitamin form, the vitamins don't give any taste of meat. And even though we assume, like the Ramah, that you need to wait 6 hours after a tavshil shel basar, that's only on account of a lo plug. But you're going to say a lo plug on something like a vitamin? That's not even achila. Lo plug is only when you do. So similar to Shlomo Miller's svara, or Shlomo Miller, I should say, similar to Rav Moshe's svara, Shlomo Miller just took it a little further, right? Rav Moshe says, when you take a vitamin, that's not even achila. That can't be part of your lo plug. Whereas Rav Shlomo Miller said, licking your fingers, that can't be part of a lo plug. I saw the Rav Shlomo Miller quoted in a sefer, whose name I forget right now, a small red sefer written by a Talmud of Rabbi Belsky, with just quick questions answers relating to Basar B'Chalav. Seems like a nice sefer with footnotes. Rabbi Belsky wrote a nice haskama, except the part where he wrote, you totally disregard Minhag Yisrael, you need to talk to your babi more. Something like that, essentially. Meaning he said, your knowledge of the svarim is very good, but you might benefit by going into like a Jewish kitchen and asking the woman of the house what they actually do, because you have certain kulas that no Jewish woman would ever accept, which is a fascinating comment to make in a haskama to a sefer. Okay, so that's as far as vitamins. A Another potential exception we discussed last time is if you're just tasting something and spitting it out. So the Badei HaShulchan, Sifkat Tezvav, quotes Poskim, Darkei Tshuva, and others, that if you taste meat with your tongue and then you immediately spit it out, then you wouldn't have to wait either, because neither reason applies. So that's potential exception number four. Potential exception number five is a fascinating one. It doesn't really appear, as far as I know, in earlier Poskim, but Rav Sternbach writes in the Tshuva in Chelek Aleph, Siman Taf Lamed Aleph, as follows. He quotes a Sefer, Vayan Avram, I think it's called, B'shem Hagon HaKadosh HaAdma Rabbi Avram Michechnov Zatzal, Sheshir Sheish Sha'os Hainu Li'Equal, meaning like Rabbi Yonasan Epshitz, that the idea is digestion, and V'shem Nogorim Li'Equal V'lo Tzarek Sheish Sha'os. And if you go to sleep, that causes, that speeds up digestion, if you sleep, and therefore you're not going to need 6 hours. V'shamati shechen migdoli arav bi'ir hakodesh pasaken la'alach l'maisa. He says, I heard one of the great poskim in Yerushalayim paskin this. V'yesh l'tma shelo roa sefer zichron l'moshe im hanhagos hagona kodosh hachasam sofer zatzal shahora b'tchila lahatir v'heichen yatzmo chalav l'kafe l'shtos b'boker v'nishpach Umisham Haven Sheina Dinkain. Lachain may oz pasak the lo plug. So it's such an unusual tshuva. Rosh Sternbach starts off by saying, there are those that believe that if you go to sleep, then it speeds up the digestion process, and therefore, you know, I could certainly understand if it's about, if it's like Rashi, that it leaves a strong flavor in your mouth. If you wake up with morning breath, that's an even stronger flavor. And maybe that takes away that flavor. But if you say like Rabbi Yonasan Epshitz, if you say like the Plessy, that it's about equal, so that also, that process could be sped up. But he says, it's a Pella that one of the great poskim in Yerushalayim was willing to paskin like this. Doesn't he know what it says in some random sefer about the hanhagos of the Chassam Sofer? The Chassam Sofer spilled his coffee once and took that as a siman Rashmaim to change his psak? So I would answer two things. Either no, he doesn't know what it says in some random sefer about the Chassam Sofer spilling his coffee, or he knows and he's not convinced that was a siman Rashmaim when the Chassam Sofer spilled his coffee. I don't know why Rav Shechter has such a mice in Nefesh HaRav about Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik once spilled his coffee, I think when Rabbi Brander was his shamash, he spilled his coffee on his suit, and Rabbi Brander heard him like yelling at himself, Beryl, it's your fault, Beryl. And Rabbi Brander said, I mean, like, you're an old man, you spilled your coffee, like, relax, you know, it's not the end of the world. And he said, I don't think he said it that way, but you know, and Salvechik said, no, this morning I got up, it was dark in the room, and I took a suit and I put it on, and after I put it on, I realized I put on my Shabbos suit, not my weekday suit, and I was too lazy to change. Even though it's a weekday, I was too lazy to change out of my Shabbos suit. So Min HaShemayim, they got me that now I have to send it to the cleaners and I have to change anyway. So he took that as a simon. So such a similar maisa with the Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer was willing to have a coffee in the morning, even though he didn't get 6 hours of sleep the night before, and he apparently had like a late Thursday night chalent or something. And you know, and when he woke up in the morning, it was less than 6 hours later. That he originally was willing to be makel, but he took a siman Hashemayim not to be makel. Which is just an interesting. I don't know. There are the other potential exception. Rav Nevinsal, I think, paskins for Nativ Aryeh. Someone texted me this the other day. I think it was Maury maybe texted me, and I think in Shalvim also they're makel that when they have the fleishig meal lunchtime, they don't wait the full 6 hours till the milchig dinner. Because it's misud l'suda, that's the yeshiva schedule of what lunchtime is and what dinner time is, and they're makel not to. No, I think Maury texted me because I think he was in Shalvim and he knew it. Rav Yaakovson said that. Yeah, and I've heard it from many Nativ guys over the years that Rav Nevinsal holds that way. So Rav Aaron, meaning with Rav Aaron, the explanation was that Rav Aaron really held 5+, right. But maybe not. Maybe it was just Misu, then he doesn't hold in general 5+. What?
I don't remember if he was quoting in like from Hugo's BMG that they only ate 5 hours in between.
Or who quoted that? Rav Yaakovson?
Or if he was just saying Rav Aaron Cutler only said they ate 5 could, anyway.
Right, okay, fine.
If you hold of the sleep, how long would the sleep have to be
That's a good question. I don't know. My guess is your night's sleep, but that's not so easily defined. I don't think people hold to that. My chavrusa, when I was in YU, when I was in Meshechtosh here, used to have non-dairy creamer in his coffee in the morning, because especially during midterms, because he was always eating flesh late at night. I don't know, young, powerful stomachs, and in the morning, by the time he had his coffee, he'd come into Seder. We couldn't have; he was still fleshes. Every morning he had to do the math, you know, I can't. Yes, I don't think, generally, I don't think we hold to that. Okay, those are the exceptions as far as I know. Now let's discuss the flip side. What about eating meat after cheese? So again, let's quickly chazer what we know. The Gemara says in the name of Igra that if someone eats chicken and milk, then they don't have to wash their hands and mouth. However, between meat and milk, you do need to do kinuach v'adacha. And Tosfos, in his first explanation, says that Igra was telling us that if you want to eat meat after eating cheese, you need kinuach v'adacha. And the Gemara later explains that when you wash your mouth, you need to do not just washing, but kinuach v'adacha, which is like some type of wiping and a rinsing, meaning a liquid and a solid. Shulchan Aruch paskins like the first day in Tosfos, like the Shitas Rambam as well. And therefore, this din is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Siv Beis, that after you eat cheese, you need kinuach v'adacha. You need to wash out your mouth. You need to have something solid, have something liquid to clean out your mouth. Good. The Rashba in Taras Abayis HaKatzar, Bayis Gimel Shar Dalid, says that the reason you don't have to wait is that cheese is soft. It doesn't get stuck between the teeth. It doesn't have as pungent a flavor either. You have neither the concern of Rashi nor the concern of the Rambam. So let's discuss some of the details of kinuach and hadacha. The Gemara tells us, Kotza Braisa, Beishamayom Mekaneach Ubeishilom Madiach. And the Gemara says that that's misleading, that phrasing is really misleading. It makes it sound like Beishamay holds you do only Mekaneach, Beishilom holds you only do Madiach. But it's not true. Beishamay holds Mekaneach, Vuhu Adin Madiach, Beishilom holds Madiach, Vuhu Adin Mekaneach. And this is an example of Mara Merchado, Vlo Pligi. Each of them is telling you another step of the process, but you have to do every step of the process. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that you have to wipe your mouth with bread. The Gemara says dafka not to use vegetables because they don't really clean your mouth out well. And that removes any cheese residue. And then you rinse your mouth out with water or wine or something like that, some sort of liquid. The Tur in Siman Kuf Ayin Gimel says that you have to chew for a kinuach. I mean, you have to chew the food well in order for it to achieve the desired result of a kinuach. And Pesach Tshuva over here in Siv Karnei quotes a pre-tawar that you also have to swallow. But the Rambam in Halacha Chavav says explicitly that even if you don't swallow, it works. Nafkamina would be, you chew gum, right? So gum is very flavorful, very sticky also, so it may draw out whatever flavors in your mouth and draw out things from between your teeth. But you don't swallow it, so that lechara would be a nafkamina. The Torah quotes from that goes Maimonios, the name Rabbi Yehuda, that you can soak bread and then do kinuach v'adacha basachas, because then it's both a liquid and a solid simultaneously. But the Torah says better not to do that way, because it could be that the liquid takes away some of the kalach of the solid, and the solid takes away some of the koach of what the liquid is supposed to do, that they're not really accomplishing the same together. In this case, 1 + 1 does not equal 2, meaning the whole is less than the sum of its parts. Shulchan Aruch tells us that you have to do kinuach v'adacha only when you eat milchig, and now you want to eat a fleishig. But if you eat milchig and now you want to eat, only when you eat milchig now you want to eat meat. But if you had milchig now you want to eat chicken, then kinuach v'adacha is not necessary. It's machlokes Rishonim whether you have to wait after eating chicken before eating cheese. But the Shulchan Aruch is machmir, or the other way around, Shulchan Aruch is machmir like the Shitas HaRambam on that, right? On waiting after chicken before eating cheese. Now, so where does this whole hard cheese business come from, right? We all know hard cheese, you gotta wait 6 hours. Parmesan, you gotta worry about Parmesan cheese. So this is an episode. It's based on a story that happened with Maram Rutenberg in Tshuva Simen Tafresh Tezvav, and it's called in the Hagos Ashri in the back of your Gemara on the side of the Rosh in Simen Hay, that the Maram Rutenberg once ate cheese and then he ate meat. And then he later discovered there was still cheese between his teeth, that there was still cheese in his mouth. and it shook him up. So he accepted as a personal chumrah that he's always going to wait after eating cheese also. I mean, because he sees that the concern of basar ben ishnayim is not only concern of basar ben ishnayim, it's also a concern of cheese ben ishnayim. Now, had this happened to somebody else, it probably would have come and gone, and that would have been the end of it, and everyone would have forgotten about it. But the Maharam Rutenberg was not just somebody else. Maharam Rutenberg was the most influential, probably, of all the Gedolei Ashkenaz, and, you know, Rebbe of the Rush, and if it happens to Maharam Rutenberg, people are going to pay attention. So that's where this minna comes from. The Marshal in Yamshel Shlomo here in Simin Vav thinks that this is a ridiculous chumrah. He said it's one thing for the Maharam Rutenberg to accept it. He had an actual experience. He actually found cheese in his teeth. But it's against the Gemara. So what kind of, you know, the Gemara says, you can eat basar after eating gvina. Achol gvina, yochol basar. Achol basar, yochol gvina. So he doesn't understand how you can accept a chumrah that's against the Gemara and apply it to all the Klal Yisrael. You have a personal experience, you want to accept the chumrah because it's into hate. But to apply to all Klal Yisrael, the Shach and Sivkot Yitzayim, though, disagrees with that Marashal. So the Ramah disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch and says that really, ideally, doing kinoch v'adacha does not permit you to eat meat after cheese if the cheese was hard cheese. If you ate hard cheese and you now want to eat meat, you need to wait the same amount of time that you'd wait for dairy after meat, like the Maharam Rutenberg. Even if you ate the hard cheese and now you just want to eat chicken, you should be machmir like the sheet of Maharam Rutenberg. And the Ramah, L'chora, is saying that b'toras minag, b'toras chumra, not meikar adin, because it's based on this Maharam Rutenberg. The whole thing is just based on that that one episode that happened with Maharam Rutenberg. So l'chora, even though the Ramah doesn't clearly indicate that it's only a chumra, and that it's b'toras minag, Pashtus says that's what it is. So now the question becomes, okay, so we're Ashkenazim, we're going to follow the shita of the Ramah, but how do we define what's called hard cheese? So the Taz in Sifkat and Dalit says that it has to have been matured for 6 months or it's become mitula'as. The Shach in Sifkat and Tazvav agrees and says that if it matured for 6 months, then it's automatically hard cheese. And the Ramah says that there are those who are mekel to eat meat after cheese and in mochen bi'adam. They just need to be careful, do kinoch v'adacha like the Shulchan Aruch says, meaning, after all, of course there are going to be those that are meikel. Most Rishonim never heard of such a chumrah. So what about so lemaisa, right? We try to be makbid for the 6 hours. Just a second, we try to be makbid for the 6 hours. But which kinds of cheeses do we have to worry about? And are these cheeses that we are worried about readily available? Like, do you need to go to France to find a cheese like this, or like these cheeses all over the place? Are they in your local grocery store? So, kuli am lo pligi, American cheese is not a hard cheese, and kuli am lo pligi, well, I shouldn't say that. Kuli am lo pligi, cream cheese is not a hard cheese. You know, the cheesecake cheese, what are they, farmer cheese, right? All that's not a hard cheese. Kuli am lo pligi about that. But what about some other cheeses? So, Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Kovetz Moria on page Ayin Test, the Sharak Hagvinos Sha'asu Pam, Hayutzrich Machakos Kanog She Sha'os. Aval agvinos shel hayom einam domim klal legvinos hahein. It's a pretty broad statement, probably overly broad, that nowadays there's no such thing as hard cheese. It depends where you go, right? Probably most normal places, most regular supermarkets in America, those cheeses that are readily available of Shlomo Zalman probably would not have qualified as hard cheese. But probably if you go to Trader Joe's, where they always have like those weird products with the funny ashkachas, right? You know, so you'll Trader Joe's is like the bane of every rabbi's existence. It's like I get half the text that I get if not for the strange ashkachas in Trader Joe's. But anyway, I digress. So, but if you go to places that have you know, that have more unusual kinds of cheese, or places in Europe, in France or wherever, where they have, you know, where they have like cheeses that have been aging since the Middle Ages, you know, then probably that would qualify. So it seems like an overly broad statement attributed to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Yashiv has a printed tshuva on the topic in Chelek Aleph Simin Nun Ches of Kovetz Tshuvas, and he was asked if the rumor, you see, the shaila wasn't what do you hold about cheese? The shaila is, I heard you hold X, is it true? Which is an interesting way to ask a shaila to a gadol. By interesting, I mean incorrect. The proper way to ask a shaila is just ask the shaila. So he's asked if the rumor is true that he holds that you don't have to wait after eating melted cheese, like on pizza. If they take a hard cheese and they melt it on pizza, is it true, Rav Eliashiv, that you hold you don't have to wait? And Rav Eliashiv writes, Lo nechona hashmua, ki lo nishalti alza. Not true, I was never asked about this, which is pretty amazing that Rav Eliashiv could say with confidence that he was never asked about something. I don't know if you've ever seen, if you ever were zocher to see the way Rav Eliashiv was handled, you know, the way people would ask him questions. I'm sure you go on YouTube, you could find the videos of him walking down the steps from the Letterman Shul after Shacharis with his talis and tefillin with him. And as he's walking down the stairs, people are congregating at the bottom of the stairs, shouting questions at him. And, you know, to each question, mutter, usser, mutter, usser. Just like, you know, responding just like as he was walking, like they were like, probably on his way down the stairs, the 30 seconds he walked down the stairs, he must have answered, you know, 2 dozen shilas, you know. So to say with confidence, no one ever asked me about that. That's pretty amazing. That's a pretty fast mind that he could, you know, that he could remember what. But he says, lo nishalti azeh. So what do I hold? Achen ladina, trei taimi nemru ba'adas alechul gvina achar basar. There are two reasons not to eat gvina achar basar. Rashi and the Rambam, right? And he says what they are. Schweizer kez, I guess Swiss cheese. Sheish bem harbe shamnunis v'atamnim shal harbe zman. Begvina kasha shayich taimid Rambam ki gam gvina bein shnayim mikri gvina. He says when it comes to a hard cheese, the Rambam's concern is real. When it comes to a soft cheese, the Rambam's concern does not apply. But if a cheese is particularly pungent, even if it's not hard in terms of its consistency, it doesn't matter that it's soft. But if it's particularly pungent, then you have Rashi's shita, that it has a very strong flavor. I saw somewhere that that same sefer, I forget the name of the sefer, that Belsky Zichron Levracha held the same way, that either or, either aged for 6 months because that gives it a certain hardness to it, or there's a certain pungency to the cheese, and Rav Eliashiv therefore says even if it's on your pizza, you need to wait 6 hours. The Yad Yehuda on the Shulchan Aruch says if the hard cheese is cooked, then it softens and no longer requires waiting, and that's what many people are makel on. Meaning the big issue is Parmesan cheese, right? Meaning all the other cheeses that we have that we typically use are not really such a concern. I think the OU has on their website like a whole list of which cheeses are a concern or not a concern or maybe a concern. You know, some are aged for 3 months, some are aged for 6 months, some are soft, you know, based on all these factors. But Parmesan cheese is the one that that people are very concerned about. So some are makel based on the Yad Yehuda that if it's cooked, then it loses some of its taste, some of its strength, and certainly some of its hardness if it's cooked, and therefore would not be a problem. People have said, I haven't seen it written anywhere, maybe you guys can tell me, that grated cheese, grated Parmesan for some reason should be mutter. I don't see why that should be mutter. It doesn't seem to me that it should be mutter. But you see that quoted anywhere? Okay, so like because very often you have a salad, a Caesar salad, and they'll grate some Parmesan cheese on it. So you're trying to eat light on Erev Shabbos, a light lunch, right? But you have a salad with grated Parmesan cheese. You have a real problem, l'chora. Now, the idea of being makel when it's melted, Rav Eliashiv is not excited about that kula, but the Yad Yehuda says it, and when you combine it with the fact that the whole thing's only a chumrah, because Maram Rutenberg had a bad day once, you know, so it's you can understand why someone would be would be makel in something like that. Yeah, what is metulat? I think it means that it develops holes, you know, like the, right? I mean, that's probably what it means. I don't think it means that it actually worms it. Unless those are microscopic worms that make those holes, I don't know. What?
There's
worm cheese.
Yeah.
Probably not kosher.
But
I'm saying it's a question because the insects grow within.
Oh,
the
they grow
cheese,
within the cheese.
Right?
Ah, okay. So there's did I mention cheddar cheese? I did not mention cheddar cheese. What do we say about cheddar cheese?
There's aged cheddar and not aged cheddar.
Ah, okay, so it's totally on the cheddar. Probably most of the cheddar cheese is out, but it's not aged. Yeah.
If I remember correctly, the Star Chase says that cooked parmesan, you still do have to wait.
Makes sense to me. It makes sense to me that you would. It's still very, very strong. And it's, you know, the Yad Yehuda was makel, but, you know, the fact that the other poskim didn't mention it doesn't mean that everyone agrees to the Yad Yehuda. It could just be that, of course you're cooking Parmesan cheese. That's often the way cheese is eaten. Yeah, but it's quoted, you know, it's quoted in the Ramah. So, yeah. Meaning, personally, when people ask me, I tell them, you know, if they ask, if I eat this, should I wait 6 hours, or I ate it, should I wait 6 hours? I always say, yes, you should wait 6 hours. I don't see why we should be making when it's cooked. But, you know, are people wrong? If they, no, they're not wrong. I mean, it's Yad Yehuda, and it's the whole thing's only chumrah to begin with. Just to me, it doesn't seem like when it's cooked that it loses that strength of flavor. I don't know if you eat eggplant parmesan. I think it, no.
Okay. I just.
It has to be a chumrah. What else would it be?
No.
Yeah. The next issue, just trying to, you know, keep it moving over here, is what about tavshil shel basar? Tavshil shel basar is, you know, Badei Shulchan, Sifkat Nayin Zayin, writes, Tavshil shel basar v tavshil shel gvina perush, she'eze ma'achol sheni nespashel im habasar o agvina, v'yesh mitam habasar o mitam agvina, aval basar be'en o gvina be'en einbo. So there's time of basar, time of gvina, right? A potato from the chalent. Or, you know, sometimes my mother used to make us franks and potatoes. That was like a very exciting dinner. That there were cut up hot dogs and potatoes mixed together, and they were cooked in the same pot. So those potatoes, they're not hot dogs, they're just potatoes, but they were cooked together. So that is a tavshil shel basar. So Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel tells us, if you eat potatoes that were cooked together with the meat, and the potatoes don't have any mamashos of meat on them, or any fat from the meat on them, then you could then eat a tavshil shel chal. You could eat, let's say, a vegetable that was cooked with cheese, if it doesn't have any cheese on it. And you don't need to wash your hands. And that's like Rabbeinu Tam, which is quoted in Tosfos Kofei Amud Beis, and the Rush, and against the Tosfos who requires Netila. The Ramah says that you need to wash your hands in between. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, Sifkat Nibbeis, you don't need to do Kinuach V'adach in your mouth, but Rabbi Kivega quotes Ramah in a different place that you should do Kinuach V'adach as well. So that's case number one. You're having Tavshil Shel Basar, then you want to have Tavshil Shel Gavina. Second case, you're having Tavshil Shel Basar, and now you want to eat Gavina. Now you want to eat actual Milchiks. This comes up much more often. The Ramah holds against the Mechaber that if you ate Tavshil Shel Basar, you're now fleshing, and you need to wait the full 6 hours. It's based on a Beis Yosef in Orchaim Sim Kufayin Gimel, in the name of the Mordechai in Chulin, who says that he saw his Rebbe Aser eating cheese after eggs that were fried in Shuman, because Gzeira Atu Basar B'chalav. So even a Tavshil Shel Basar. So if you eat French fries from a fleshig restaurant, not like Stam, any fleshig, but a fleshig restaurant that really, you know, like a greasy kind of fleshig, like, you know, Carlos and Gabby's, that kind of plate where everything is fried and everything is, and the stomach, they're just sticking things in that deep fryer, and it's that same oil is used to fry chicken and meat and French fries and onion rings and everything else. So if you eat that, according to the Ramah, you're fleshig and you can't eat cheese for 6 hours. Shulchan Aruch, though, does not hold that way. You know, Shulchan Aruch just says you need to wash your hands, and that's good enough. So I would have thought, and I always did think, that it depends if you're Ashkenazi or Sephardi. I remember I was once sitting in the DRS based medrash in the afternoon. I used to learn there in the afternoon. And a boy came in and he said that he just had a couple of fries from his friend's lunch, and his friend had ordered from whatever the equivalent of Carlos and Gabby's back then was. I think it was pre-Carlos and Gabby's, whatever it was, from some fleshig restaurant. And now he wants to eat his lunch, but his lunch is milchigs. So is he allowed to eat it? So I said, yes. So one of the other Rebbeim heard me say yes, and he said, you need to chazu your teya. You know, Rama says no. He said, no, this boy is Sephardic. He's just a very light-skinned Sephardic. So he didn't realize that he was a Sephardic boy. So I always thought that Sephardim are meikel on this. But then, more recently, I saw in Yalkut Yosef, he writes, V'amina gam etzala svaradim lahachmir lahamtin sheishos gam ba'achol tavshu levad k'mo ba'achol me'abasor atzmo v'ein lifrotz geder. Even if it was just chicken nuggets that were frying in that oil, it was basar oaf. The minig by Sfarim Sri Nachman. Now, I should mention that I've been told that Morenu Rav Willig Shlita, and it must be based on another Yerposkim, I just don't know where, maybe you guys can tell me, is makel that these things do not have the status of Tafshil Shel Basa. Can you guys confirm this? Are you familiar? Yeah? Ah, so that's what Rabbi Willig is, that's what people told me there. Rabbi Willig holds, if you're not cooking it dafka, meaning they just don't want to change the oil, they just don't want to have to change the oil every time they stick something in the deep fryer, but they're not trying to give the fries any tam of the basar, that's not a tafshil shel basar. When I put potato, my Franks and potatoes, you know, and that's what I'm serving, you know, for dinner. So the potatoes are impacted by the taste of the hot dogs on purpose, right? Meaning that's why they're cooked together, because they're supposed to be impacted by the taste of the hot dogs. That's tafshil shel basar. But if it just happens to be that you put it in the same oil because you don't want to have to change the oil out every time, so that's not tafshil shel basar. That's what people told me, b'shem Rav Willig. No, keder shel basar means a flesh gapat. This isn't just a flesh gapat. It's cooked in the same oil. Deep fryer's got two things. You put the, you know, both things in the fryer.
But there's no basar in the top. It's just the oil that the basar was in.
Or there is. I don't know. Many of these places they got like four things lined up. They got chicken nuggets in one of them. They got fries in the other one. Everything's good. Right, and it boils up. All the health bubbles come to the top. Right. Even then, I would think it's tafshil shel basar because the same oil that the basar was cooked in. It's not this. It's not the pot. It's not like the dofnei hakedera. It's the same oil that the basar was cooked in. That's what I would have thought.
How people feel like it's important how much time is imparted, and this is a way of telling how much time is imparted, or it doesn't matter how much, even if you didn't purposely cook it with that, you know.
Yeah, it's a fair question. Is it a din in you know, is his shita a din in bittel, or is it just in terms of you know, that it's megala that that probably there's not too much flavor there if you're not having kavana for that flavor, if you don't intend on having that flavor. I don't know how to be magdir it exactly. Can anyone confirm that? Am I right? Is it ever will call that? I'm pretty sure I even asked him about it, but this was years ago, so that he's mekel on this. And that even for Ashkenazim, he's mekel. And for Sfardim, it's easier to be mekel. We got questions up here? So do we consider restaurant deep fryers as intending for tam? So, you know, e.g. those fries from Carl's and Gabby's. Ooh, Rabban Chaim is lenient. Holds you only need to wait an hour, I believe. Okay, shkoyach. Did you show him Yalkut Yosef? Show him Yalkut. I wonder if he would be Vatel Data. Probably not. Yeah, so the... what was I saying? Yeah, so with the Carl's and Gabby's, I don't know. I think Rabbi Willig is making it because he thinks that it's not, they're not dafka doing it in the same oil as the chicken. They're just too, you know, they just have no interest in changing the oil unnecessarily, and it's just much easier for them to advertise. Assume everything that comes out of our kitchen is flavored, right? That's what the restaurants typically write. Okay, the Ramah then says, and this is what Ephraim was referring to before, that if you eat potatoes that were cooked in a flesh of a pot, even if the pot had a little bit of fatty residue, right, that's the shach sukkot nitas, you could still eat cheese afterwards. Now, as far as eating it with cheese, the Beis Yosef tells you to look in Siman Sadi Hei. And the shach in sivkot nitas here says that if the pot was clean, then of course you can have the food with cheese. We're talking about the pot wasn't washed well and it has ktsas mamashel shel basar. However, the Ber Hetiv in Sivkot Nir Aleph says, "Bechinam dacha hashach lomarkein, Because according to the Ramah in Siman Sadihei, it's asur lechatchila bin nat bar nat tehetera. That even nat bar nat tehetera is asur lechatchila. And this is exactly nat bar nat tehetera. What happens? You have the tam of the flesh that goes into the pot. The tam from the pot then goes into the pasta that you subsequently cook in that pot. Now you want to put cheese on that pasta. That's what's called nat bar nat tehetera. Of course, we're machmir lechatchila. Nat bar nat tehetera. You're not supposed to mix cheese with the noodles that were cooked in the fleishik ben yomo pot. The Beis Meir says that the Berhetiv's point is incorrect because the Ramah is mekla nat bar nat tehetera b'di'evet. In this case, it's b'di'evet because you already cooked it in a fleishik pot. Does that make it b'di'evet? Because you already cooked it in a fleishik pot. B'di'evet is if you've already mixed it with cheese. That's a b'di'evet. Difficult to understand. The Beis Meir rejects the shach anyway, because he's manu shach. He says, if there's shishim connected the basar in the pot, then it should be batel. If there isn't shishim, then it's literally the same thing as the tafshil shel basar, which, you know, I guess is a point we were discussing before, right? Meaning, depending on whether there's shishim or not, it's going to fit in one category or the other. The Beis Meir instead answers the shach's kasha by saying that the Ramah is teaching us that even if you cooked a dover charif in a fleishik pot, where we don't apply nat bar nat, everything becomes a tam rishon, then you can't eat it together with cheese, but you can eat it after cheese. So Rav Poskim though seem to be in agreement with the Shach, the Chacham Sadim, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Meisha and Yerdei Chelek Beis Simin Chavav seem to be in agreement with the Shach. So again, to quick summary. You ate a tavshil shel basar. Now you want to have a tavshil shel gavina. The mechaber says mutter. You don't even have to wash your hands. The Rama mutter, but you got to wash your hands. You ate a tavshil shel basar. Now you want to eat actual gavina. The mechaber, you got to wash your hands. Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef writes even svardim are machmir to wait 6 hours nowadays, but Rabbi Chaim disagrees, and the Rama says that you got to wait 6 hours. You ate a tavshil shel gavina, and now you want to eat a tavshil shel basar. So the mechaber says, mutter, you don't even need to wash your hands. Kal v'chomer from tavshil shel basar, now you want to eat tavshil shel gavina. So of course in the reverse it's going to be mutter. And the Ramah again is going to say that you need to wash your hands. What if you ate a tavshil shel gavina, and now you want to eat actual meat? So the mechaber, mutter, and you don't need to wash your hands. Because even though the mechaber is machmir, that you do need to wash your hands if you ate a tavshil shel basar, now you want to eat cheese, but if you ate a tavshil shel gavina, now you want to eat meat, we could be making without washing your hands. But the Ramah says that at least you still need to wash your hands. You don't need to wait 6 hours, but you need to wash your hands. So if you had like French fries from a milchik restaurant, from a pizza store where they also fry those cheese sticks, right, or whatever they... You know, mozzarella sticks or something in the same oil, and you just ate some French fries or falafel balls or something from that restaurant, and now you want to eat basar. So the Rama says, just wash your hands, and it's good enough. Good. Now a couple of more, couple of final points over here. The Shulchan Aruch says, based on Yerushalmi in Maseches Pesachim, Hadin da achil chovetz uboy lemechal kopar mevar psisim. If you ate cheese and now you want to eat meat, you got to get rid of the bread. You can't leave the same bread on the table. And the Ramah quotes this. And therefore, if you're eating a milchig shalashudis, you're not allowed to use the same bread that was on the table during your fleishig Shabbos lunch meal to eat your milchig shalashudis. Rav Moshe has the famous kula. Rav Moshe in Yardei Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Ches was asked, someone eats kvina v'rot zalechol basar, so whoever he's writing the tshuva to asked him, you need to have separate bread for milchig and fleishig meals. How come I've never seen people be careful about this? That was the question asked for Moshe. So he could have said, I don't know, why are people not careful about a lot of things? They're not careful about this. So, not everyone knows every Sivkat and Shulchan Aruch, but no. Rav Moshe says that the reason they're not careful about it is because they don't have to be careful about it, because this only applies to sliced pieces of bread. But if you have like a big chunk of bread and you sliced off a few pieces, but then you left the rest of it in a big chunk of bread, and people aren't reaching for it during the meal, they're not eating from it during the meal, the whole thing doesn't apply. That's what Moshe's Chiddush. Because when you cut a slice of bread with the intention of eating it with meat, even if you didn't end up eating it with meat, we assume that you weren't so careful about that slice of bread that it shouldn't have touched the meat. But the unsliced large loaf of bread that never came in contact with meat, you could assume it never came in contact with meat because it wasn't easily accessible to be eaten together with meat. And this is the what they call the French toast hatter. In a lot of households on Sunday morning, they like to have French toast for breakfast. And why do they like to have French toast for breakfast? Because there's leftover challah from the Shabbos Suuda. So they'll take the challah from the Shabbos Suuda, they'll take the French toast, they'll take the challah, soak it in eggs and milk, and make French toast that way. And l'chora, that's a problem, but Rav Moshe says, not a problem as long as you're taking from a large loaf and you're not taking slices that were already sliced at the Shabbos Suuda. Bade Ashulchan discusses, is this only bread? What about other parah foods that were at your fleshik table? Would you say the same for all parah foods? So Bade Ashulchan talks about salads. So if you have a part of a salad that you ate by a fleshik meal, so he says you can use it for a milchig meal as long as the salad has special serving utensils. See, bread, you're going to take with your hands, you'll put it directly on your plate and put it back if you're not going to eat it, you know, it's flying all over the place. Salad stays in the bowl until you put it on your plate. It stays in the bowl. So Bade Ashulchan thinks they can be making on salad. But in that discussion, it's really quite a chumrah, because he's saying this is not only a din by bread, this is a din by anything that's treated like bread. And therefore he says, mitzvah min amuvchar to be machmir if you can, because that's what he always says, right? That you should always try to be machmir. And then he says, and of course, and another big thing of his, if you have kids around, all bets are off, everything's straight. You know, if you have your kids around, well, once they move out, you know, kasher your whole house, and then maybe you have a chance of keeping kosher, because kids will get their hands into everything. But he doesn't really say that. But he says that that when it comes to salads, if there are kids around, even if there are serving utensils, kids aren't always gores the serving utensils, and you have to be choshish that maybe they're touching with their grubby hands. Simon Afriat, Arletzion Chelak Hey, just came out. Ooh, mentions the minhag to be mekel to wait just 1 hour like Rabbi Ben Chaim holds. Ah, very good. Okay, so he found support for Rabbi Ben Chaim. I mean, you don't need more support. The Shulchan Aruch says it, right? You know, the Rabbi Ben Chaim is the pashtus. I thought it was a great chiddush what Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef writes. It'll hit a piece of meat like the ketchup. So yeah. So if you make up your own gzeros, then yeah, then there's a chashash.
Are you able to be mevarer this, or is it meaning? Can you look at your bread and say there's no milk in your bread, or is this?
I don't think so. It sounds like this was a minhag that was accepted not to have the same bread. Then the Shulchan Aruch says that you're not allowed to eat meat on the same tablecloth that you eat milk on, and vice versa. And that's based on a tshuva hamiyuchas l'Ramban, simin kufayin beis, that also lechol gvina al mapel sha'achlu ba'basar, she'i efshar she'en ala kamati be'basar, v'lo machmas mashe nivla b'tocha, ani omer sha'balua eni yotze, al yidei davar cham. V'imishum ha, haya also l'aniach alav gvina chama, aval tzinan eslo, if we're about blios in the mapa, so then you just wouldn't be allowed to put hot foods down in it. But he says it's not about pleos, it's about that it's just impossible to clean it off. So the Pischei Tshuva in Sivkat Hilches says in the name of the Radvaz that the Shulchan Aruch is only talking about places that eat directly on the table without using plates. But if you use a plate, then you're allowed to use the same cloth underneath the plate as flip the tablecloth over, or just make sure there are no crumbs there, and that should be fine. In Yalkut Yosef, Simon Peites, Osamche, he's Mekel also, and he says you could have a milchig breakfast and fleshig lunch or dinner on the same table. You don't have to use separate tablecloths as long as both meals were eaten using plates. Again, plates have changed everything. The Bade Ashulchan acknowledges that min adin, you could just clean off the tablecloth, but he says better to be machmir and have a separate tablecloth. Okay. Yad Avram is making the tablecloth is very large, which is interesting. what does he mean by that? Why would it be any better if the tablecloth is very large? So when you see his rayas, you understand what he means by that. He doesn't mean what it sounds like it means. He says, raya number one is the mechaber in Siman Pei Ches said that if two people are reading al mapa echad, one meat and the other one milchik, they need a heker. Ooh, but apparently two people are allowed to eat al mapa echad, one meat and one dairy. How are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to eat on the same tablecloth. Elamai, it's large. Elamai, they're on two ends of the tablecloth. That's what he means by large. It doesn't mean that stam, a big tablecloth, you don't have to be concerned. If you ate breakfast at that end of the table, and then you come to this end of the table to eat lunch, so that's what is that's when there's no concern, because practically the remnants of your last meal aren't going to be there. His other right is the Gemara says tzara adam basar gvina b'mitpachas achas v'vachuli nogim zebozeh, that you can wrap basar gvina in the same cloth as long as they're not touching each other. Again, what does large mean? Large means that they'll be separate from each other, that they're not going to come in contact with each other. And then there is one final halacha. I'm just racing to the end over here. One final halacha, and that is the Shulchan Aruch tells us two final halachas. That first, you're not allowed to slice cheese with a fleshig knife. Even if the cheese is cold, you can't take a fleshig knife and slice cheese. And also, you're not allowed to cut bread with a fleshig knife if you want to eat that bread with cheese. This comes up all the time. The sharpest knife you have in the drawer happens to be a fleshig knife, because it's very good at cutting meat. And you want to cut a bagel that you're going to have with cream cheese. So Shulchan Aruch says you can't do that. And the Rama writes that if you stab the knife in the ground, then that would be mutter. That would make it mutter. If you stab the knife in Karka Kosha. And the Taz and Sivkan Vav explains that the Rama is talking about the first case of the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, if you want to slice cheese, cold cheese, with a fleshig knife, stab it in the ground in order to remove any of the meat residue. But if you want to slice bread with a fleshig knife, and eat the bread with cheese, you don't need to stab it in the ground. You could just wipe it down, and that would be good enough. So as long as you clean your knife, that's going to be fine. However, if you look in the Shach, Sifkan Chav Beis, it seems that the Rama was talking about the second case of the Shulchan Aruch, not the first case. That if you want to cut that bagel with the fleshig knife, you have to do the stabbing in the ground. And in the first case, stabbing in the ground is not going to help, right? Meaning, it's not abundantly clear which case of Masana. There are two cases. One is a more direct problem, that you actually want to use a fleshig knife to slice cheese. And the other one is, I'm not going to slice cheese. I'm going to slice a bagel, and then that bagel ultimately is going to be used with cheese, which is less of a direct problem. And on one of those things, the Rama says, you have a heter of stabbing it into karka kasha. So that's the machlokas. Which one of those things is he talking about? So in the Sefer HaKashrus, he writes, "Alishtov heitiv esakin beezras matlis mechupeset v'svon kalin, a brillo pad, steel wool, something like that, and dish soap." It has the same impact anyway. So since most people clean their knives anyway with the hard side of the sponge and some soap before they put the knife away, so l'chora, you have what to be somechan to slice the bagel for sure. Do you have what to be somechan to slice cheese with a fleshig knife? So that's debatable, right? The Shach in Sivkan Chav Beis assumes that the Ramaz Kula was only on the second case, and for the first case it's not going to help. So probably you shouldn't use your fleshig knife to slice cheese. Then the Ramaz says that everybody, all of the Jewish people, have a minag to have two sets of knives, one for meat, one for milk. And the Taz in Sifkat Zion says that since the minag is not to slice any cheese with a fleshig knife, you shouldn't even do it after nitzav karka. Betoras minag. But of course, if you make a b'shas al chak, it's only betoras minag. It's not minadin. Pri Chadash in Sifkat Chavdal it says that the medakta can have three sets of knives: milchik, fleshig, and bread. Dafka a bread knife that you dafka use for bread. I just got a text from a boy in yeshiva. He said that in his dorm room he used a knife for butter, and then he used the same knife for a lotus spread. Lotus spread is parv. So is that okay? Is there any isser in doing that? So meaning no iser for sure, because it's totally part, right? It's suddenly if he wants to have the lotus spread on his meat, maybe that would be an issue. But we want to know this, you have to assume that the lotus spread is now milchit. So it's sveidinim over here. If it was in a normal kitchen, you know, by civilized people, of course not. But it's a yeshiva bachur, so of course it's milchit. There's no doubt that he took the knife full of butter and stuck it right into the... So it's not lotus spread anymore. Now it's lotus slash butter spread. But the Shulchan quotes from the Magen Avraham that you're not allowed to do hagala on your dishes to switch them from meat to milk, or vice versa. And we only do hagala either on Erev Pesach, and then you could even switch from, once you're doing that, you can switch from meat to milk, or if something got trafed up. And the reason is because we're worried that you're going to forget to do hagala and switch it back to the type of food that you're currently eating. So there was already a minig Yisrael that we don't do that. I've been in the OU office where they asked Rav Schechter about this in the context of a store. Someone had rented a restaurant that was previously a restaurant of the other min, right? Meaning it used to be a flesh restaurant, now it's going to be a milk restaurant, and vice versa. So does the minig apply that we're not going to kasher from one to the other? So Shachtar doesn't apply in a restaurant setting. It doesn't apply in a business setting. That's talking about a person who's going to flip back and forth, and every time he has milk, he's going to go to milk. Every time but this is someone running a restaurant. They plan on keeping it that way forever, and it's not a, you know, it's not something that they could even choose to flip back and forth because it's a restaurant. So he thought that that the whole thing doesn't apply in that case. Okay, we will stop there. Bez Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up with, we're skipping, Siman Tzadi Zayin. And then Chazara starts, and then, you know, God willing, we'll move on to Tarovas. The reason we're doing Siman Tzadi Zayin tomorrow is because it's a one-day Siman. And it's easy. So I needed, you know, something that we could do in a day. Okay.